Don't buy Bird Dog's khaki shorts. They're basically just like Lululemon, but they have a bird as a logo. You don't want that. Their website looks like it was made by a 12-year-old. Don't bother visiting it. These idiots can never even keep their products in stock. You shouldn't even waste your time trying. You'll hate Bird Dog's because of their stretch material and tailored fit that makes your legs look and feel great. Nuh-uh. Just don't buy Bird Dog's. You won't like them. Don't go to birddogs.com/MLB, or I promise you'll regret it. Do not visit birddogs.com/MLB or get the free tumbler they're offering.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Hey, hey! 3 hours to, well, it's our weekend, but I hope it's your weekend too. If not 3 hours, then pretty darn close. And we soon will have live golf on TV. They're already underway in the second round of the Open Championship. If you missed my conversation with Matt Adams from across the pond exactly 24 hours ago, we were talking to him about the conditions and actually how the conditions made this a wide open open. It's a wide open open. Yes, that's on purpose. A wide open open because it's not typical of the weather and the conditions you would really associate with an open championship. Usually there can be wind, there can be rain, it can be cold. The track's playing faster and harder. Instead, he said it was soft, which of course opens things up for golfers who maybe aren't quite as technically sound. Did you all see what happened to Rory McIlroy on the 18th hole? He got into one of those pot bunkers, and when he tried to chip out the first time, it smacked into the wall of the bunker and landed at his feet. So he had to do it again. But then he got up and down. No doubt. Major fist pump for that reason. So yeah, we've got live soccer on FS1. Soon we will have the Open Championship airing on USA. It's kind of funny for those of you who were listening to us last night. We were trying to figure out where to find the coverage of the Open, and a listener wrote in and said, you know, at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, you can catch it on USA. That's when the live coverage begins. So as I'm driving home after our show on Thursday morning, I'm listening to our New York affiliate. I mean, I mentioned Boomer Esiason all the time. Boomer's a friend of mine. And so I do listen. It's the only sports talk I listen to. I listen to no other sports talk. Every now and then I'll listen to an interview, but that's rare. And so on my way home, I'll catch the first segment of Boomer and Gio. Gio used to be here on CBS Sports Radio when we started the network. Anyway, Boomer and Gio are fumbling around trying to figure out where they can find the coverage of the Open Championship. They're doing this live on the air. So I know I shouldn't have texted and drived. I just said drived. I shouldn't have been texting and driving is what I should have said. Oh my goodness. The English language.
Drived.
Drived.
It drived the point.
It drived the point home. Oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. This is what happens when you do 4 hours of yard work in the heat and humidity and forego your nap. Oh, it was a rough couple of days. The tips of my fingertips, that again, here we go. I can't speak now. I've got a complex. The tips of my fingers and even my fingernails hurt from all the weeding I did. Jay said to me, oh yeah, I can remember what that felt like. Going back to, you know, when he actually did manual labor.
Hey.
Not anymore. When was the last time you did manual labor?
I dig some holes now and then in the garden for some flowers.
That's good.
I haven't weeded in a while. Thank goodness, because I hate it, honestly.
Well, I don't have a weed whacker. I hate the sound of them, but also the weed whacker wouldn't work in all the situations in my yard because I have a rock garden. And so you really do have to get right up close to the rocks, the stone, to be able to pull some of the weeds. And then I also have a fence around my backyard, and you have to get kind of underneath the fence in some cases to pull out. I have this wild vine that actually grows berries, red berries. I don't think I'm supposed to eat them, but it's over a good chunk of my yard, but really it's along the fence. It kind of grows and gets underneath the fence, and you can pull one piece of it, and it turns out to be 2 or 3 feet long if you've let it grow for a little bit.
Is it invasive?
Invasive, you mean?
Invasive, yeah.
Invasive, yeah. No, it doesn't take over the plants. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, it just is along the ground. And generally, it's along my fence and underneath my fence and then around the edge of the rock garden. And so for that reason, you have to pull it out by hand, or I have to pull it out by hand. And then I've got some other weeding I have to do in and around my flower beds, like my lilies. There's a bunch of debris in there I had to pull out. So I was doing all this weeding, and I do wear gloves, but now the fingertips hurt and my fingernails hurt. It's very weird. Have you ever had sore fingernails before?
I have. I feel like it makes sense because, like, when you're just kind of like digging them in the same mm-hmm. spot and like kind of like pushing the nails into
yes.
like the nail bed and
yeah.
And, you know, that like kind of stale feeling at the fingertips. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but these actually hurt. Like the fingernails actually hurt, and they're not real long. I'll have to get my nails done next week, but they're not real long. So anyway, that's a weird sensation.
Have you ever cut a nail too short?
Oh, yes.
And then it, like, you try to like open a can of soda or something, and it's just the worst pain ever.
I don't think I've cut it too short. I think I've broken one, or I used to pick at my nails. I don't do it much anymore. By the way, when you were gone, do you remember about my finger? How I smashed my finger into a bar underneath the counter here
and
in the studio.
Instantly.
It did. Do you know it's still not completely healed? And every now and then when I like bang the top of my middle finger or I shove it into something, it still hurts. So people have been asking, how's your finger? It is now almost 3 weeks later, and the finger, there's still a bit of a scar there. I mean, it's healing. It's almost gone. But there's a bit of a line there where I bruised it pretty badly.
And this happened where?
Here at work.
Huh.
It's workman's comp, I think.
That's what I think we're nearing the grounds of.
I think I should go back and get some medical care. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and producer Jay, who's back after his vacation to Chicago and to Long Island. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and yes, we're keeping track of what's happening across the pond. They are on the course at Royal Liverpool, and it's, you know what? I think it's been going on about 90 minutes, so it's still really early in round number two, but we'll keep our eyes out. We know that some of the big names will be on the course before our show is done, which is great. And if you missed our conversation with Matt Adams, were we planning on bringing some of that back, Jay? Yeah. We might, because we talked to him about the conditions and also interesting info or lack thereof that he gave us about the LIV PGA merger, which is currently under investigation by the DOJ and a congressional hearing and yada, yada, yada. Honestly, I feel like it's dying down now to the point where it's annoying because there's not enough information to really judge what's happening. Even the golfers don't know what's happening. So conveniently, it's taking until these majors are done before we get any more information. And all of a sudden, Jay Monahan's kind of dropped off the map. We're not hearing much from him either. So the golfing is really front and center now as opposed to any type of merger. And it's not a leaderboard that makes you go, wow. Well, you don't go wow because of the star power atop the leaderboard. Instead, you've got guys like Christo Lamprecht. He's an amateur. He's South African. He's still in college, but he's 6'8", so you can't miss him. And everybody wants to talk to him about his height.
Dad's 6'4", and he's like the shortest of the last five generations. So on my dad's side, the length is there. My grandfather was like 6'8", and then my great-grandfather was like 7 foot. So it runs... not that I know of. So it runs in the family, definitely. But
who's the tallest golfer you've ever played with?
Tommy Morrison, he plays at Texas, a freshman at Texas. He's like 6'10 right now. So I played with him recently and looked up to him, and he's like, hey, big guy. I was like, okay. It caught me off guard a little bit. But yeah, he's pretty tall.
Lamprecht is 22 years old, a senior at Georgia Tech, and he qualified for the Open by winning the British Amateur at a nearby golf club. Can you imagine the thrill for him? And not just, hey, I'm in the Open Championship, but whoa, I'm leading the Open Championship after the first round. Do we have anything about him talking about leading the Open Championship?
That's all I have from him at the moment, but let me see.
I did see some quotes from him where he talked about, and actually I think I saw the audio too, where he talked about how he always believes he can go into any tournament and compete. But it's a different story when it's a major and it's the opening round. Pretty crazy. And as you can imagine, this is his only major, right? Because he qualified. He had to qualify to get in, and he's still in college. He said it's pretty surreal. It's nice to see a lot of work behind the scenes pay off. It's something I haven't dreamt of yet, but it's pretty cool. So yeah, beyond his wildest imaginations as an amateur at 22 years old. He shares the -5 at the top of the leaderboard with Tommy Fleetwood. And this is neat, too. Tommy, known for his hair, not for his 6'8 stature, but his hair. He's English. And so the crowds are behind him and we're letting him know they support him all the way through that opening round.
It was very cool. And I think... you know, you can't ask for more from the fans and the support. They were so great to me today. I'd love to play at Goodison. I'd love to give that a go. But that, yeah, they were great from the first tee onwards throughout the round, the way they were down the last hole there, the reception I got. Such a, you know, special opportunity to play so close to home, but have that support and play an Open. And glad I gave them some good golf to watch. But it was, you know, for me... yeah, so cool for me and Finno being out on the golf course and getting that kind of support.
I would love it. Remember when the Canadian Open was won by a Canadian going back, say, 6 weeks ago, and the place went nutso? It would be really cool if Tommy Fleetwood was able to stay in contention, number one, and number two, potentially be on the leaderboard come Sunday in the final round. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know the story with Rory McIlroy. Hasn't won a major in 9 years. In fact, it was 2014, the last time the Open was at Royal Liverpool. It was a different course, so they've changed a bunch, as you can imagine. And this is pretty standard. A lot of times when they have a repeat visit from a particular tournament, they'll change up a few holes or change the layout just so that it can be either more challenging or so that it doesn't play like it did in the past. But Rory won there in 2014. And because he's coming off a victory in the Scottish Open, and because of how high profile he is, I would say right now, probably the most popular on the tour, certainly the most recognizable with everything that's gone on around PGA and LIV and the merger and how outspoken he's been, the self-proclaimed, self-prescribed defender of the PGA Tour. So he's been front and center for the PGA for the last year plus, and he is the overwhelming favorite to win his first major in 9 years, though right now he's got some work to do.
I'm pleased. You know, I was probably hoping for a little bit more at the start of the day, but, you know, as I got out there and, you know, the conditions, you know, got a tiny bit tougher, you know, as I said, being 2 over through 12 and getting it back to even par, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, get this. Rory started slow. He birdied 2 of his last five holes to even get back to even par. And there are a bunch of the top golfers in the world who are scuffling. The defending champ is Cameron Smith. He's 1 over. So as they get into this second round, right now the projected cut line is +2. Rory McIlroy, as I say, attracts a lot of attention and has a huge fan base. It's never going to be like the Tiger galleries, the Tiger crowds, or even the Phil crowds, at least not at this point. But John Rahm didn't love it, didn't love the fact that he was playing with Rory and it was loud, the fans were obnoxious, and he might have been ignored a little.
I'm trying to walk, and there's way too many people on my way, and I can't go forward at my pace because they're on the way.
Simple as that.
Very simple. And then I'm walking off 18, and I'm trying to deal with my with the unlucky moment on 18, and there's somebody with a boom mic on my ass keeping up with Rory's pace, and I can't go on my own pace. So, yeah, this is kind of the disregard that I existed.
That's Jay's favorite part at the end. Wait, can we hear it again? Just kind of disregard that I existed.
Kind of the disregard that I existed.
That's tough.
How can you be a grown man and say publicly that you feel like the media was disregarding your existence?
I'm trying to walk.
The boom mic's in my way. The cameras won't let me through. I can't proceed down the hole.
The unlucky moment on 18, and there's somebody with a boom mic on my ass.
Get out of my face. Do you remember when Tiger was at the height of his popularity and his caddy, Stevie Williams, would be slamming cameras and knocking people over?
There's way too many people on my way.
Just get out of my way. Stop snapping photos in the middle of my backswing. You just disregard that I existed.
I'm trying to walk.
I can't believe that there's a grown man who's talking about how he feels disregarded. His existence is disregarded. They just kind of disregard that I existed. No, I know we're teasing about it. We're reading into it because it's just funny the way it comes out. I'm sure he meant like, hey, you're in my way. You're disregarding my existence.
Yeah, very simple.
But the fact that that John Rahm, as one of the top golfers in the world, seems to be having a pity party because his existence was disregarded.
Somebody with a boom mic on my ass.
Get your boom mic out of my eyes.
Kind of the disregard that I existed.
Oh, good stuff with John Rahm, which I forgot even where he is on the leaderboard. I suppose I could look it up for you. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll just disregard that he existed.
Kind of the disregard that I existed.
Oh, my gosh. Poor guy. Ricky Fowler's at plus one. There's a lot of golfers at plus one. Did you see Justin Thomas, by the way? What has happened to him? He might have the yips. Plus 11. Ugh. Justin Thomas, isn't he on the American Ryder Cup? Well, maybe not after this. Isn't he on the American Ryder Cup team?
I feel like I haven't thought about him or seen him in a top 10 finish in...
Justin Thomas, plus 11. He actually tees off next hour. See if I can find some other outrageous scores. I told you that Phil Mickelson is plus 6. He's got work to do in order to make the cut. Man alive. Let's get it together.
Let it go.
Even Ernie Els is plus 4, and he might be 60 years old now. Actually, I got to figure out how old Ernie Els is. It's been a long time since Ernie won the Open Championship. He's 53. I was close.
Ernie
I was very
Els, 53?
Close. Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that name on Sundays for major tournaments since I've been alive watching golf. Ernie Els.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. Because he's a former champ, he has a lifetime exemption. I think that's how it works. Well, we could call John Rahm our sad sap of the week, but we have something better in store in that particular category. So, Facepalm Friday.
Are we disregarding his existence?
We are, actually. What should we do? Facepalm Friday or sad sap of the week? Ooh, that was a good one. Ow. Ow. It's kind of a delayed ow.
That was. I felt that.
Yeah, I felt that too.
I think he's a sad sap.
You think he's a sad sap?
A little bit.
Okay, a member of the Seattle Mariners, if that gives you a clue. We may have to bring back the Facepalm Friday, though, specifically for John Rahm. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of you were sending us your Mount Rushmore of sports over the course of Thursday. We put it out there on Twitter and Facebook, except either I am terrible at explaining or you all just aren't paying attention. I know a lot of people answer on social, even though they haven't listened to the show. It was really funny. One lady responded on Facebook and then said, oh, no, I just listened to the show. I got to change mine because she had done it wrong. Anyway, we did get a lot of your answers. We're happy it's almost Friday. We did it. We did the happy almost Friday. In fact, as I was getting ready to, I went grocery shopping after the show on Thursday. As I was getting ready for bed on Thursday, I kind of missed my window where I was super tired. So I was still reading. It was about 9:30 in the morning, which is pretty late for me. And I almost texted Jay, happy almost Friday.
Preemptive.
But I figured you were already asleep because I know you've turned over a new leaf and now you're trying to go to bed earlier in the mornings.
Yeah, I was in bed.
Yeah, so I didn't want to wake you up. Happy almost Friday.
Would have gotten me too excited. I wouldn't be able to go to sleep after that.
Oh, well, it's a good thing I didn't. Also, Mom sent me a text on Thursday evening that said, and I quote, it's your weekend. Mom, what? Except for the fact that I have another show to do. But okay, not quite my weekend. It's my weekend with bruised fingers and sore fingernails. It's a weird thing to have sore fingernails. It really is.
Definitely not comfortable.
No, it's not comfortable. All right. I can deal. I was asking Jay if he thinks my voice sounds weird. Me, 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 me. Disregarded my existence. It's better. I will say after a week of almost no phone calls, it's better. I'm turning over a new leaf. No more phone calls. Oh, whoops. Sorry, Jay. You're the exception.
All right.
You'll be the exception. But mostly because I'm going to make you talk. Go. Talk. Jay gets nervous when you put him on the spot.
Yeah.
You put him on the spot and then he starts to stutter. So.
Well, and just in terms of like a phone conversation, like I'm not just going to sit there and just talk. Like that's not, I don't have that much to say.
You don't?
No.
Your
just
life
to sit
is
there
not
and
that
just
exciting.
Keep talking. Like, I don't know. I woke up and here I am. I don't know. That's it.
The snapshot of Jay's life
that's
right
it.
There.
Woke up, looked at what was going on, and now we're talking.
Check the weather. Looked on YouTube for about an hour and a half.
Yeah. You know, it's a muggy 86 out. It's about what's going on.
Great. You sound like an old person. You know that, right?
Well.
You talk about the weather. That's the most exciting thing in your day.
Oh, I do not often, like, talk about the weather.
Oh, we talk about the weather every single day, you liar.
When it's
we talk
raining,
about the weather
like it has been the last, like, two
no,
weeks.
No, we talk about the heat. We talk about the humidity. We talk about when it's cold. We talk about when it's raining. We talk about the weather every
I mean, it gets in there. If it's topical.
It's not my fault you're old. I can't help it.
Shoe fit.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our sad sap of the week is coming up here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here's the 2-2. Swinging, it's muscled out to center field. Take off, back at the wall. Gone! Teoscar Hernandez, dead central. And the Mariners have taken a 2-0 lead. The 1-1 pitch. Swing hammered high. Back, and gone way out of here. Off the windows in right field. A shattering home run, Mike Ford.
Having a bad week? Bad decisions?
Immediately regret this decision.
Bad calls.
You called me, I was illusional.
Bad bounces.
Oh no!
Bad luck. It definitely could be worse. Laugh it off with us. And the After Hours Sad Sap of the Week.
The challenges when producer Jay is on vacation is that we don't get to do any of our fun features. Fun fact, Sad Sap of the Week is one of my favorites because we get to use some humor, irreverent. We're a little irreverent about it. But when you have an emotional outburst as a baseball player, football player, hockey, basketball, whatever it is, and you actually hurt yourself from your emotional outburst? Well, you are, in fact, a sad sap of the week. Do you remember when Bryce Harper was new in Major League Baseball? It might have been his rookie campaign. And he got so angry that he smashed a bat against a wall and it bounced back and hit him in the head. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would make you a sad sap of the week. Or if you're Jared Kelenic of the Seattle Mariners and you hear they actually got a victory, a shutout win over Minnesota on Thursday. That's Rick Riz on Mariners Radio. But Jared Kelenic is unable to play because he has a broken foot. Why does he have a broken foot? Because he kicked a water cooler. Now, he did do damage to the water cooler, but he got the worst end of the deal. You know that old cliche when you see someone after they've been in a fight and their line is, you should see the other guy? Oh, well, that's what the water cooler could say. You should see the other guy. So Kelenic is now on the IL after he kicks the water cooler, breaks his foot. Poor guy is so upset that when he sat in front of the media on Thursday, he was crying.
Let the emotions get the best of me there. I feel terrible. Especially for the guys. I let the emotions get the best of me and
tell us a little bit about
that. I just... what that's about. I let them down, take full responsibility for it. It's on me. It's just can't happen.
All right, this is coming from an emotional girl. I am an emotional girl. I do sometimes cry over my mistakes, and I generally cry when other people cry as well. I'm trying to take him seriously. And I do feel bad that he's dealing with a broken foot. But the fact that he's so sappy about it.
Just, I let the emotions get the best of me. And
poor guy. poor Jared Kelenic. All right.
It's on me.
So why get so upset? Why take it out on the water cooler, Jared?
We came up last night with the game on the line. Two guys on. Against arguably the best closer in baseball. And I was just put together a good at bat, was just grinding, you know. And unfortunately, I couldn't come through. And I guess I
it's adding injury to insult. It's adding injury to this this unfortunate incident in which he could not come through for his team. He had a strikeout on Wednesday in the ninth inning when they had an opportunity. So he goes and he smashes the water cooler. Have you seen the video? The video is actually out there. If you want to check it, you can put it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. All right, I'm going to try to be serious as I listen to Jared explain about his competitiveness.
I love to win. Huge competitor, and that's the hardest part is that now I can't be out there.
Hashtag sad sap of the week. I'm not laughing at him. I'm sure that it hurts to have a broken foot, but I'm not upset. Well, I'm upset for him. I'm not upset at him for laughing, really, or for crying, excuse me. I'm just laughing because it's so goofy.
Take full responsibility.
Water cooler came out of nowhere.
It caught me off guard. He had x-rays. They revealed the fracture. He was in a walking boot. Oh, this is much, much more extensive a healing process than just the 10-day IL. And honestly, maybe I should be a little more sympathetic because my mom is also dealing with, well, she had foot surgery. She never broken foot, but she had foot surgery. And I understand she's a little frustrated because she can't really do a whole lot. Now, she's not a professional athlete, but she is a professional math teacher. And school starts for her in a month, actually under a month. And she's also just now to the point where she can stand up for longer periods of time, where she can get back in the pool. She always, I love my mother. I wish she would stop sending me photos of the stitches and the incisions and the scars on her foot. I don't need to see that.
It's on me. It's just can't.
I just can't. I can't. Have you remember the last time, whenever it was, that you were crying so hard you couldn't speak? I'm trying to think when that was for me. Oh, it would have been in January. I had a crying so hard I couldn't talk. My mom was on the phone with me, and she was saying to me as kindly as she could, "Honey, I can't hear you because you're crying so hard. Can you stop crying so you can tell me what's going on?" So that happened to me in January. Weirdly enough, I was sitting outside. We had a pretty mild day in January. I had just gone running, and I guess I was feeling a mix of endorphins and all the other stuff just came pouring out. So yeah, that was January. I was sitting, and the funny thing was, I was sitting on my front stoop, and who knows how many other neighbors were walking by or listening on the other side of the hedge. But yeah, I was out there crying, and I couldn't talk, and my mom was very sweet, as she always is. So I understand how Jared Kelenic feels, because there are times when I cry so hard I can't talk. I mean, can't.
Let the emotions get the best of me there.
Can't.
Even the guys.
I just let them down. Poor guy.
I let them down. Take full responsibility for it.
Did you hear how his poor voice shook? Jay, you didn't answer the question. When was the last time you cried so hard you couldn't speak? Oh, ever in your life?
What do you mean?
Ever in your entire life?
Oh, my. Yeah, very often. It's been, I don't know.
Very often? Not since I met you.
I used to have fun before. I don't know. It's been a while. I can't remember the last time I'd laughed at something and like so uncontrollably.
No, I said cried so hard you couldn't speak.
Oh, I thought that. Oh, like because of I was upset?
Yes. Like Jared Kelenic.
Yeah. I don't know. Can't remember the last time. I don't think it's ever happened, actually. Now we
ever?
Put it that way, yeah.
You've never cried so hard you couldn't speak?
I don't know.
Huh.
Not really.
Gosh, it's happened to me a handful of times just in the last year. Of course, going back a year ago when my grandmother passed away, that was the worst. That was real grief. But I would say that it's good for humans to be in touch with their emotions and be able to express their emotions. So good for Jared Kelenic. I wonder if it makes it worse, though. Makes it worse that he broke down in front of the... just poor
I let them down. Take full responsibility for it.
I feel so bad for the kid. I really do. And I think he's in his third year with the Mariners. Let me see if I can figure out how old he is. I'm going to look real quick. Oh, poor guy's only 24. He's got his whole life ahead of him. But now he was starting to hit better, and now he's taking it out in the water cooler, and the team picked the water cooler over him. I mean, that's what happened. They decided we can live without Jared Kelenic. We can't live without our water cooler. So they put him on the IL. That's what happened.
You think the Giants would give the water cooler a contract? It's a pack of punch. It's got some damage.
I mean, remember when OBJ and the kicking net got into it?
Do I?
Yeah, so they picked the kicking net over OBJ. All right, coming up top of the hour, we're actually going to head down under. Are we going to Australia or New Zealand?
New Zealand,
we're
Auckland.
We're going to Auckland. Okay, so we're going to Auckland to connect with Stephen Goff, who covers soccer and the World Cup, both men's and women's, for the Washington Post, and he is posted up down under, where we decided, let's see, based on what he told us, 16-hour time difference. 16-hour time difference. So at 4 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, it'll be 1 p.m. It'll be, what, 6 o'clock there?
8 p.m.
Well, 6 o'clock Pacific time, right? Because it'll be 1 a.m. Eastern Pacific. So you would go to 1 p.m. And then if we're adding 5 more hours onto it. Oh, no, 4 more hours. Sorry. It would be 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Correct.
Well, 5 p.m. If you're on the Pacific time zone, it would be Never mind.
You had it right.
Yes. All right, Jared Kelenic can laugh at me now.
I let them down.
Oh, no. I cry sometimes when I let my radio audience down. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, After Hours CBS. I kind of feel like Twitter's dying. Did you hear the latest? Oh, Jay and I will get into it. I'm getting no tweets tonight, which is okay with me. It's really okay with me, but I'm wondering if Elon Musk is killing Twitter, how come people aren't sticking with Threads? I haven't heard a peep about Threads in over a week. Facebook is still active, though, in case you're wondering. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Maybe earlier in my career, I was a little more easily angered, and I feel like I'm a little less triggered as I've gotten older.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The same guy who told us a couple years ago that he was old and cranky. Remember, he was telling us he was crankier in his old age. That goes back to, I don't know, 3 training camps ago. I feel like it was the same training camp when MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, was a Packer and was a rookie. That was the training camp in which Aaron was talking about how he was crankier in his older age and dealing with so many young receivers. All of a sudden, though, new lease on life. 39 years old, got a brand new challenge, being hailed as the king of New York. And so for that reason, well, doesn't feel old anymore.
Came back a changed person.
This is what happens when you have a new love who looks at you differently. You bat your eyelashes and a new love. Just anything you want, Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Aaron coming up next hour. Although at the top of the hour, we're going to talk a different kind of football. Women's World Cup. Stephen Goff of the Washington Post will join us from Auckland, New Zealand. I will readily admit, first time in my entire radio career, I've ever had a guest from New Zealand. He's not a Kiwi, but he's hanging out with the Kiwis. That's really cool, actually. We've had listeners from Down Under before, and we've definitely had international guests before, but never from New Zealand. This will be the first time.
As a god.
So we'll get a preview of the U.S. Women's National Team. And also, if you didn't see it, talk about emotions. This is emotion that's much purer than Jared Kelenic kicking a water cooler and then crying over it. How about don't kick the water cooler, buddy? Nothing good happens when you kick the water cooler. It's like kicking the dog. Don't kick the dog. Don't kick the water cooler.
Take full responsibility for it.
Well, of course, the water cooler didn't kick you. Anyway.
I let the emotions get the best of me.
Poor guy. I mean, I will say, when you're a public figure and you have a major screw-up like that, it is harder because everybody knows. So, of course, Jared Kelenic had microphones in his face on Thursday as he hit the IL. And I'm sure he feels like crap because he was starting to hit better and now he can't be part of what the Mariners are doing. He's in a boot. I mean, he could be out for a lot longer than a couple weeks. That's rough.
Was that the best way to deflect how the injury happened?
Meaning crying over it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was intentional. Poor kid sounds like he's just a disaster. He's a mess.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's intentional, but now it's like, oh, he was crying, like, so, poor him. So not, he kicked the water cooler and broke his foot.
You kicked the water cooler and broke your foot. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's hope for no broken bones for the U.S. Women's National Team, who has a really interesting mix. So we'll talk about this with Steven. Of veterans, names that you know, like Alex Morgan and Becky Sauerbrunn and Megan Rapinoe and Lindsey Horan, who is a co-captain on this team. But then they also have a bunch of newcomers, and that's one of the major storylines as the U.S. tries to three-peat. But yeah, Lindsey has the chance to wear the wristband as a co-captain.
My teammates make it a little bit easier. I would also like to say that I don't change a whole lot from the player that I've been, especially in the last 2 to 3 years, and kind of the leadership role that I've stepped into. But yes, like you said, we have a lot of new players. We have a lot of young players coming into this World Cup, but it's more just about making them as confident as possible in their abilities stepping into this World Cup.
14 of the women on the U.S. roster will be facing their first World Cup match, and it's against Vietnam. So, of course, it's a mismatch on paper. We'll say it that way. It's a way for them to get their feet wet, if you will. But yeah, 14 members of the U.S. team are going into their first World Cup match on Friday night. Now, they do have a lot of international appearances, and they also have club matches and club experience to draw on. But for Crystal Dunn, there's a big difference.
It's important to realize that the international competition is very, very different. You'll play teams that are very disciplined and they sit in a five back. And now it's about how do you break those teams down. And I think it takes a different level of just fluidity, creativity, just the ability to adapt, I think is really the biggest thing that I've learned since being a member of the national team, is knowing that, you know, we're all talented, but talent in itself doesn't just only get the job done. It's collectively working together and being able to break teams down every opponent that we face.
One of the newbies, if you will, and you may hear the name Sophia Smith, Emily Fox. I mean, these are young women who played for the red, white, and blue at Youth World Championships. And so, yeah, they have represented their country before, but not at this level, not on what is the game's biggest stage. And honestly, one of the biggest stages in all of sports. Forget which one we're talking about. So Stephen Goff of the Washington Post will join us coming up. You can check us out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page, too. We are heading into a Friday morning here in the United States, but it is well into the evening in Auckland, New Zealand. That is really cool. I can't wait for this. Halfway through our show, still with some QB news to come. A little more from Major League Baseball. We're keeping our eyes on the Open Championship as well, but straight ahead, Women's World Cup. Down Under. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, my name is PJ Vogt. I host the podcast Search Engine, where every week I hunt down the answers to the questions I can't get out of my head. Like, why are drug dealers poisoning their customers with fentanyl? Or, is my local sushi restaurant a part of an international scam? Or, how sad are the monkeys at the zoo? If you, like me, find this world bewildering, but also sometimes enjoy being bewildered by it, check out the show on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.